5, verse 22 to 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying everyone. Thank you.
Isn't it cool how God gives us an illustration of peace, patience, long-suffering right at the beginning of the sermon? You did that well. I mean, I'm impressed, Cody. I don't like the choir behind me, especially when my wife's in the choir. New rule, starting next Sunday, you have to come down to the front pews when I preach. I trust Bob, I don't trust the rest of you.
No way.
In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, we meet a couple named... Genesis chapter 1, we meet a couple named Adam and Eve. Right, you know, this isn't a real hard test, guys. All right. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God says to them, be fruitful and multiply. Then in Genesis 9, we meet another guy who's just endured a lot of seasickness and stinky animals. And Noah comes out. There's only 8 humans left and probably a few more than 2 of the rabbits at least. Because a year in a boat, I bet there was more than 2 rabbits. But God tells in verse 1 and again in verse 7 to Noah, be fruitful and multiply. Now, I'm going to not exactly use proper exegesis on this, which would mean using the scripture the way it's supposed to be. But I like being fruitful and multiplying because we're talking today about the fruit of the Spirit. And I think if we are fruitful with the fruit of the Spirit, that we will multiply. When we start using the fruit of the Spirit in our lives and sharing the fruit of the Spirit with others, we'll multiply. It says here, now I'm a nice guy, so I didn't make her have to read the entire passage I'm going to steal from. But one of the things it says here is that we're to serve one another in love. That's important. That's why I stressed it with the kids. When we serve one another, it's not because, someone, we owe it to them, or we do it because we feel indebted, or because, God's watching. I always hated that song. Obi, a little careful, little hands, what you do, because a father up above is looking down on love, so be careful what you do. It's like, man, I mess up, God's going to strike me down. That's not how God treats us. But if we serve one another with love, that means that we want what's best for them. We want to make sure that they have what they need, and sometimes even more than what they need, but what they would like to have and what they desire. God does that for us. He takes care of our needs first, but sometimes He gives us even more. Juan Carlos Ortiz is a preacher down in Venezuela, one of the largest full gospel Pentecostal churches in the area. And he was talking about God and prayer. And he had been praying for a bicycle. He needed a bicycle. And he needed a desk to write his sermons on. The bicycle to get around to see people and a desk to write sermons on. And he'd been praying for months. Now, I don't know about you guys. How many of you prayed for months on one thing and still believe you're going to get it? So one day, he says, I'm praying. And the Lord says, Juan, what? Where's my bicycle? He says, Juan, you haven't told me what kind of bicycle you want. You haven't told me what kind of desk. There's a lot of different bicycles. There's a lot of different desks. You tell me what you want and we can work together. So he began to pray for an American-made bicycle, 10-speed, because he knew that would be what Americans were made bicycles were the best at that time in the area. And he wanted a roll-top desk. So he started praying. He started telling people, I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant with a bicycle and a desk. Women on the street would laugh when they'd see him coming by. Lo and behold, about a month later, a missionary was headed back to the States. He says, we don't want to take, my son has a bicycle, it's a 10-speed Huffy, and we really don't want to have to take it back to the States. Would you mind taking it from us? Oh, okay. He says, and I have this roll-top desk, and it's really heavy, and I don't want to have to try to get it back. Could you use that? He says, yeah, I could. He says, oh, and by the way, I have an office chair that goes with the desk. And Juan says, is it the one with the spinning around seat and the wheels on the bottom? He says, yeah. And he says, you know what? He didn't just give me one. He gave me more than I asked for when I was honest and told him what I really needed. Well, that's how serving one another in love should be. That we should be doing what we can to meet their needs and sometimes maybe even to give them a little extra. Because love wants us to. If you love your spouse, do you want them to be unhappy? Is anybody even listening?
Yes.
If you love your spouse, do you want them to be unhappy?
No.
Okay. Guys, you should really pay attention because unhappy wife, unhappy life. And if you don't know that by now, just trust me. All right. Serve one another in love. Because it says the entire law is summed up in one thing. All right, the law, if you look here in Galatians, a little bit earlier in chapter 5, is summed up in love your neighbor as yourself. Now, some people don't love themselves, and that's bad. You know, if you hate yourself, this is not a good scripture to follow. But we're supposed to have a healthy self-image, and we're supposed to love ourselves, and we're supposed to love our neighbors the same way. One of the ways we're able to do that is because God gave us the Spirit to be able to handle it. Because if we don't have the Spirit, here's what life is like. The actions that are produced by selfish motives, all right, we haven't got to the good stuff, we're on the bad stuff right now, are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral corruption, doing whatever feels good, idolatry, drug use, casting spells, hate, fighting, obsession, losing your temper, competitive opposition, conflict, selfishness, group rivalry, jealousy, drunkenness, partying, and other things like that. I don't think that's what God expects from us with the fruit of the Spirit. But he says this, following what we heard. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against things like this. If we live by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit. What's that tell me? It tells me if I'm not loving, if I'm not being patient, if I don't exercise the proper self-control, I'm not completely following the Spirit the way I ought to. That there's room for improvement. And probably until we're pushing up grass, there'll always be a little room for improvement in all of us. But the question is, are you striving to improve? Are you trying your best to make the fruit of the Spirit evident in your life? You see, it actually says to keep in step with the Spirit. Now, Amy will tell you, a few years ago, we were going to Fort Worth to a big convention when I was working with Main Street. And those of you who don't know much about Fort Worth, there's a small bar there called Billy Bob's. It's
huge.
Biggest stadium in Pittsburgh. It's the biggest thing. And so we decided, that's when I got my first pair of cowboy boots. I was almost 40 years old when I got my first pair of cowboy boots. And I got my first cowboy hat. And we took line dancing classes. You know, when you're in step, it looks great. And then there's me. I pretty much looked like I was stomping cockroaches. That's not what it means to be in step with the Spirit. I eventually got good enough to Amy will let me go out one time, but that was it. For one dance, and that was it. And probably was best for everyone involved. But when you're dancing with a partner, those of you that watch shows, you know, like where they're doing competition dances, you know, they have to be in step with each other. Because if not, you know, bad things happen. Guess what? If we're not in step with the Spirit, bad things are going to happen. We need to make sure that as we're living our life to God, that we're loving our neighbors the way we should, that we're in step with the Spirit, because Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we're all talking part of the triune God. If we're in step with the Spirit, it means we're in step with the Son, and we're in step with the Father as well. So if we want to be where God wants us to be, it's time to be in step with the Spirit. Now, this is important, so pay attention. The biggest thing that keeps us from being in step with the Spirit looks at us in the mirror every morning. It's you. It's me. It's us. Because we get so full of ourselves that there's not room for God. Yeah, think about it, Amy. Do you have a clue where I'm going with this yet?
Yep, I do. You're going to do the ketchup song.
Yeah, I am. I apologize ahead of time. When I was a youth minister, I learned a song that helps us understand how we should be if we want to live in the Spirit. And it's called the Ketchup Song. And you need to picture a glass bottle of like Heinz ketchup when you're trying to get it out. Kind of before squeeze bottles. I'm old enough that in my youth ministry days there were no squeeze bottles, so you're thinking glass. So it goes like this. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to be useful and free. But I can't be filled with the Spirit till I'm empty of me. So lift me up and take my cap off. Won't you turn me upside down and take your hand and whack my backside and pour me on the ground. That's how we have to be. We got to let God smack the bad stuff out of us. So we have room for the Spirit to get inside of us and help us walk with the Spirit every day. How many of us truly want what God wants? Now, I'm not going to ask you to lift up a hand or answer this one outside in front of everyone, all right? But think about it. If you truly, truly want God and to be in step with the Spirit, are you willing to let Him get rid of you? I know, scary thought, isn't it? That's where humble comes into the picture. You see, we tend not to be very humble sometimes. And when we are, we're proud of it. We'll get that later. It's like the guy who got the ribbon for being the most humble person around, and when he put it on, they took it away. Put it on. Humility's hard. But we have to have that if we want to be empty of ourselves so that God can fill us with the Spirit, so that we can be in step with the Spirit, so that we can have these nine fruit. And it's not fruits, it's fruit. So it's not like, well, I have love, I don't need patience. Yeah, no, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It means we need to have love and self-control and patience and goodness and gentleness. All of those are important for us to be the man or the woman that God has called us to be. Now, if we all begin to really, truly exhibit the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, allow us to walk in step with the Spirit, here's my picture. I know. Instead of Tim on that dance floor making a mess, it'd be like our entire congregation up there on So You Think You Can Dance, dancing in perfect harmony and perfect steps. Everybody would give us tens when we were done. That's what God has called us to be when we want to walk with the Spirit and exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. So this morning, are you ready to lace up your dancing shoes and start walking with the Spirit? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus, who's given us so many things, but when he left us a part of you with the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we just ask that you infuse each of us with your Spirit. And if there's not room in us, then smack us around and get us out of ourselves so that we have room for the Spirit. And then as we each grow into the Spirit, help each of us to learn our dance parts so that we can dance in perfect harmony and make a difference in this congregation, in this community, and in the world. It's in Jesus' name we pray. For those who may not have heard, Kansas Ely had brain surgery on Friday, and it was a benign tumor. They think they got it all, and I haven't heard anything back since then, since we left, but they were supposed to get her up yesterday, and she was supposed, technically, if everything goes the way I thought, she'll be headed home tomorrow. Pretty amazing how things go. So, but you might want to remember Dave and Savannah and Kansas and Rose, because it's Kansas was a sophomore. If you don't know, she's a sophomore, will still be a sophomore in college. The doctor encouraged her to drop out because of the healing time it's going to take. So that's going to be hard. You know, you've already got started in your school, and so the Ely family, but especially Kansas. As she heals. Do we have others? Yes.
I have both a prayer and a praise.
Okay.
The prayer is for one of Megan's friends. Her name is Paige Newbar, and she's fighting anorexia. She's only 16, and it will be a lifelong struggle.
Sorry, I was trying to spell it. Yeah, you couldn't say she just, you know, she had a headache. I could spell that. Okay. So Megan's friend Paige, who